your Bible and turn to the Gospel according to John. And we're going to read John chapter 3, verse 22, and then we're going to read from Philippians chapter 1. These texts are the Bible passages that the cadets and the gems have each been studying and has been their theme throughout this year that's coming to an end. So John chapter 3, we're going to read at verse 22. And, by the way, I'm not speaking to you, but our sermons are always put on the internet, and quite a number of people listen to them. So to everyone that's listening on the internet, we're reading these passages because of our Boys and Girls Club, Gems and Cadets, and we have our clubs with us, and it's a really special day here at Bethel. So now you know the context. Okay, John chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them, and baptized. Now John was also baptizing at Aenon near Salem, because there was plenty of water, and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you are testifying about, well, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." To this John replied, "A man can only receive what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him.' The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less." And then if you would turn with me to the letter Paul wrote to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Philippians 1, beginning at verse 3. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends in Christ, gems and cadets, let me tell you a story. Once there was a minister who had the little kids come up to the front of the church. You know what that's like because we just did that. And the minister began his talk to the kids by saying, "Okay, kids, I want to describe something to you. There is something that is kind of small, about this big. It's gray. It has a big fluffy tail. It climbs trees and eats nuts." He says, "Okay, kids, what is that?" And the kids said, "Jesus." And he said, "What?" And then they said, "Pastor, the answer is always Jesus." So, and I thought, I heard that story, and I thought, you know, it's kind of true that when we come to church, that we say that oh, there are the right answers. We know what we're all going to say, that it's, you know, there's all these kind of stock answers. It's the same kind of things we ask each other. Now, I know that if I asked you guys, you know, what is small and gray with a fluffy tail, climbs trees and eats nuts, you would say, a squirrel. Right. Not Jesus. Thank you for that. I was afraid you'd say, geez, just to be funny. But you're much nicer to me than that. Now, you know that that's not Jesus because you know things about Jesus. Well, what are some things that you know about Jesus? I want you guys to tell me. What do you know about Jesus? What's one thing? Okay. Where was he born? Where was Jesus born? Hey, look at that. Okay, all right, born Bethlehem. Okay, guys, who was his mother? Mary. Mother. Mary. Okay, what do you know about him? Okay, okay. Father, but was it his like regular father? A little bit fake father? No, it's kind of like earthly father. Right. So, okay, father of Joseph. But what else do you know about Jesus? You say, Okay. Oh, perfect. Jesus is perfect. Perfect. Sorry about my writing. What do you know? Died on the cross. Look at all the things that we know about Jesus. And you said something else that was really important. For our sins, right? For our sins. Okay. Son of God. Right, thank you. Because we got Father is Joseph, but he's also the Son of God, right? And Son of God. Okay. You know, what's one more thing? Yeah, what do you... Baptized by John. Baptized by John. Right. I think we could sit here all day and just write and write and write all the things that we know about Jesus. We know tons about Jesus, right? The Bible tells us, you know, the stories. When you read the book of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, it's all the story about Jesus, all the things that he did. How did he help people? How did he help people? He taught, right? Miracles, right? So if people were sick, miracles. I'm running out of paper. There are so many, many things that we could say. Now, I got a kind of a weird question for you. You know that this is true, right? Who else knows that that's true? Who knows that that's true? Who do you think? Who else knows that this is true? That Jesus. Christians, right? So you know that, you guys, you know, the gems and the cadets, you know that this is true. Christians know that it's true. Someone else knows that it's true. God, right? The Father, God the Father, he knows that is true. The Holy Spirit knows that it's true. There's somebody else that knows that it's true. Exactly. Satan, the devil, the evil one, however you want to describe him, he knows that all of this is true, doesn't he? I mean, he knows that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He tried to get the babies at Bethlehem all killed because he was so mad that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He knows that Mary is his mother. He knows that Jesus died on a cross. He knows Jesus was a teacher and that he performed miracles. The devil knows all this stuff. So my question for you is, does knowing this make you a Christian? No, it doesn't. Knowing all this stuff does not make you a Christian. And sometimes, you know, we act as if that's true. We say, oh, you have to know, right? We want you to know all these things. So we have, you know, lessons at Cadets and GEMS, and we have Sunday school and all this stuff, because we want you to know. It's important that you know the fact of the gospel and the story of Jesus. Okay, so it has to be in here, but the devil has it in here. Where doesn't the devil have this? Exactly. The devil has it here. He does not have it here. Right? Because when it's here, then you know some other things. When you know it in your heart, then you not only you know it, you also you love it. The devil, he knows that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He knows that Jesus died on a cross. But he doesn't love it that Jesus did that. He hates it. Right? And when we're Christians, that we say, yes, I know that Jesus is that, and he is my Savior. That he is my Lord. He lives in my heart. And if it's only here, it's not much good if it doesn't go here too. So what we have to do, kids, is make sure we know, and we have to love the truth. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So is that kind of what it's all about? That's good, right? Yeah, know it and love it. Fantastic. Well, that's really nice. But that's not enough either. And that's another thing we have to learn. We have to understand as Christians that it has to be here and it has to be here. But there's another part of the Bible in the James. There was one of the disciples was named James. And he wrote a letter that's in the Bible too. And what he said, and listen to this, he said, faith without works. And remember, this is knowing it, right? This is faith. This is like believing it. This is saying, yes, I know this is true for me. He said, faith without action is dead. It's no good at all. So he said, now you have to live it. Okay, so this is the progression. It has to come in here, right? You have to understand, you know, who was Jesus? You got to know that. What happened to him? He died on a cross. Why did he die on a cross? You have to know, so that we could be saved, right? You have to know all that stuff. It's really important. Then you have to say, not only do I know it, I believe it. I accept that Jesus is my Savior and that he died for me. And you are changed in your heart because you love Jesus. And that's really important. But then if you say God is the greatest, and you've talked about that, you also say we are work in progress. That means that we're not finished. We're always trying to be better. We're trying to be more like Jesus wants us to be. We're always trying to do the things that are pleasing to God, that make a difference in the world, because we have to live it as well. And that's what you have been talking about. And that is a big lesson that you are sharing with Bethel, with the whole church today. You're saying, know that God is the greatest, and because He is, you love Him. And because He is in our hearts, we are going to let that go right into our whole body. So what we do with our feet, and what we do with our hands, and what we say out of our mouths is going to be a result of what is in our hearts. Okay? So there's three things you've got to know. You've got to love. And you've got to do. And that is what being a Christian is all about. Not just knowing. Not just having warm, happy feelings. But it's about knowing the truth, experiencing the joy, and living for Jesus. Now you cadets, look what's on your shirts. Right? Living for Jesus. You know this. Right? Way to go, guys. And you, Gems, you know that you talk about this all the time. And I've seen you. It's wonderful. So, what we need to do is make sure that we know. We need to continue to come to understand things. And there is so much to know. There are so many things that have been made known to us that we can learn about. Really important. We're going to keep learning, all of us. We're going to keep falling in love with Jesus. We're going to know Him. We're going to appreciate Him. We're going to understand, what does it mean that He died on the cross for me? You know, how much does Jesus love us? You know, that much. And then we're going to finally say, yes, we are going to live for Jesus. Right? We are going to know that what we're doing now is good, but we can do even greater things to the glory of God. So that as you grow and as you go into different ages of, you know, in a few years, you're all going to get your driver's license. Right? You're all going to start dating. Right? I don't know about that yet. But you will. You will. And as you go, you're doing different things. But as each one you do it, you say, but I'm going to continue to live for Jesus. I'm going to be the, right now I'm 10, 11, whatever years old. I'm going to live for Jesus the way that I am, and I'm going to do it to the very best of my ability. And when you're 16 and you're getting your driver's license, you say, I am going to be a driver who is a Christian. And I'm going to show that I'm a Christian even in the way I drive. And when I date, and you will, you know, some lucky guys, you are going to be Christian girls and Christian guys that are going on dates and stuff, and you're going to do it in a way that's pleasing to God. And it's fantastic. We're so excited about you guys, all of you. The potential that you have, the things that you have already, the way that you make our community complete, we would be way less without you. You are so important to us. Everybody is. You know, we got some old people here. They're important to us too. You know, everybody, you know, has their place, and we're grateful to God for you and for you. And we accept each other as God's gifts. So, are we going to know? Yeah. Are we going to love Jesus? Are we going to live for Him? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for letting us know you, for letting us love you, and for letting us live for you. We pray a blessing on our cadets and on our Gems. And ask, Lord, that you will continue in them what you have already begun. That you'll help them to be the kind of kids that you want them to be. We thank you that they will be examples to the younger ones. And I thank you that they will also grow into older kids, and then they'll grow into adults who will take their place in the church, at your side, worshiping you and blessing your community. Lord, for the parents of these kids, we thank you and we ask your blessing on them. for their brothers and sisters, for all who come into contact with them. Lord, let us all be united in holiness and in joy before your throne. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.